الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: هو الذي أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All glory and all submission is due to Allah azza wa jal. And the best of peace and blessings and salutations be upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. My respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah azza wa jal shower upon you all, and may you bask in the glory of Allah azza wa jal on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And may our attendance today become a means for our guidance, for our illumination, for our pardon and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. The verse that I recited today is not a verse that we have not heard before. Without a doubt, we have talked about this topic on many occasions. But especially given the weather that we've had over the last week or so, I thought it was prudent for me to remind you what once again. For verily, the day of Jumu'ah is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves and reconnect ourselves back with Allah Azza wa Jal. فَذَكِّرْ, to remind those people. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, for verily the reminder benefits the true believers. It softens their heart and it brings them closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So today, inshaAllah al-Aziz, we will talk a little bit about the beautiful British weather, and also we will talk about its relationship to us here today, and also to our beautiful and glorious Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal in the beautiful Quran, He reminds us in this beautiful verse when He mentions, هو الذي أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought you out of your mother's wombs, i.e. He is the one who created you and fashioned you, and He is the one who enabled you to transfer from that realm into this dunya here. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ, and then you did not know anything. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا, nothing whatsoever. What does a newborn know in terms of its own existence, in terms of its faculties, in terms of its ability to discern or any intelligence? None whatsoever in reality. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, لَهَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْعًا. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and the sequence is very important. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gave you hearing. And hearing is the first faculty that a child develops in the womb of a mother. And it's the first thing that also a child uses when they come into this dunya. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, after giving you hearing, Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the gift of sight. سَمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And thereafter Allah Azza wa Jal also gave you the discernment, the intellect. the intelligence, the ability to utilize these in the correct way, or for you to abuse these. But the purpose of giving all of these faculties is one, that you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you recognize where you received all of these things, and you thank Allah azza wa jal for the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So this is something that we'll discuss today inshallah in relation to the weather, and you might think, what's the correlation between the two? So just bear with me. Can you just, excuse me. Thank you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, and as I mentioned, He took us from non-existence. We did not exist apart from in the will and the qudra of Allah azza wa jal. He took us from nothing and He brought us into existence, especially from the wombs of our mothers. And He also took us from the zulumat ila nur, from the darknesses not just of the womb, but also the darkness of our own jahiliyyah and our ignorance, towards the nur, towards the light and the guidance of Allah azza wa jal and the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also our Lord, who gifted us for free, absolutely free. Imagine if you went to a doctor today and said, make me a bionic ear, make me a bionic eye, give me this faculty and that faculty, you'd be in the millions and billions and if not more, and they'll still be unable to recreate anything that Allah azza wa jal has created Himself and perfected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most perfect Lord, gave us these perfect gifts, these fully functioning organs and the faculties by which we are able to exist and function and succeed in the dunya. Our sight and our hearing and also our intellect. Imagine yourself today without your hearing. How difficult would life be? Imagine your life without your sight, and how you would process anything. You would unable to see the beauty and the majesty of the dunya and everything that is around you. And then imagine not having an intellect, the ability to even do basic mathematics or to recognize who you are or to communicate or do anything else. So all of these faculties have given to you by the most benevolent and generous Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is pinpointing these specifically and is asking us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that perhaps you will give its due haqq back to these things. And also be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, He gave us eyes, not just for us to gawp at each other, and for us to undress each other, or to see what's going on in some people's home, but rather He gave us these eyes to see His ayat, to see the beauty that He has created in the dunya, and also to see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be able to read the glorious Quran, to see all of these ayat around us. And He gave us hearing as well, so we could listen to the very revelation that descended upon the tender and beautiful and majestic heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ears have not been given for us to blast our music in our cars or in our MP3 players and in our homes and enjoy all of the latest Bollywood or Hollywood or Lollywood or whatever songs they may be. That's not why the ears were given to you by Allah Azza wa Jal. They were given for you to hear the azan. They were given to you to hear the beautiful recitation of the Qur'an. Your eyes were given to you to read the Qur'an and to imagine the beautiful face of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your intellect was given to you to be able to see what is haqq and what is batil, what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is injustice. All of these things were given to you by Allah azza wa jal for you to listen, for you to obey His commands, and for you to utilize these things in the way that the Creator and the Designer intended. Imagine somebody gives you something for free. So you can have this, and with this you can be a billionaire and a trillionaire. With this you can be the greatest businessman. With this you can be the greatest person that you can ever imagine. But this is how you must use it, in the correct way. Everything has a manual. But if you don't even thank the Creator and you abuse all of those things, then it will harm you in the dunya and also harm you in the hereafter. So this is something that I want us all to reflect upon today, our hearing and our sight and also our intellect, and how we are using them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to our deen and messenger, or we're neglecting them or abusing them and just pursuing our own vain desires and whims and engrossing ourselves more and more in the dunya. So So reflect today on one aspect of this particular verse of the Quran, which is our eyes. Sam'a wal absar, the absar, the eyes that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in this particular verse of the Quran. So our two eyes, they weigh less than 30 grams each, which is nothing. 30 grams is absolutely nothing in comparison to the rest of your body and the structure and everything else. Just 30 mere grams. But within those 30 grams, you have more than 200 million working parts. All of the nerves and optics and everything that is going on and functioning and operating. 200 million. Look at how beautifully and intricately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created your eyes. No matter what iPhone, no matter what Canon SLR, no matter DSLR, whatever it is, no matter what Hubble telescope, they can never recreate the beauty of the eye that Allah Azza wa Jal has made, especially in this space. And within the eye, do you know that we process over 36,000 pieces of information every single hour? Every single hour. You put a camera on, a HD, brother Zafar there, put a 4K camera on for you, an 8K, and you'll say, Imam Sahib, you need 8 terabytes, 12 terabytes to have a week's recording. Our eyes are processing 36,000 bits of information every single hour. It is your intellect that enables you to process that. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has enabled your eyes and your heart and your body to process that and to manage that. We blink instinctively. Whoever thinks about blinking, we are doing it constantly. It is the default designed by Allah Azza wa Jal over 4 million times in a year. This is the beauty and the delicate and balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us within our eyes. Our eyes provide us with 80% of the information that we grasp in the environment that is around us. Everything you are processing, God, is in front of you, what is beside you and behind you, from everything that you can imagine, the color, the temperature and everything else, all of these things, we are seeing that with our eyes, whether things are hot or cold, the breeze, etc. Everything is being processed by your eyes, whether somebody is happy, somebody is sad, somebody is angry, all of those things are being processed by that gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So the question we will come on to is, and how are you using your eyes? Is it the way that Allah Azza wa Jal intended? Or are you abusing your eyes and neglecting the eyes the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not intend? So eyes are very important, because Allah Azza wa Jal, when He mentions wal absar, He connects it to wal af'idah. And af'idah is not just the intellect in the Arabic language, but af'idah is also a gateway towards the heart. So the eyes are connected to your heart in a way that we cannot fathom or understand. It is the soul, it is the gates towards your heart. So the eyes are the opening to the heart. And what we see around us in our society, in our community, within our homes, wherever we go, they have a powerful influence over us. The images that we see, the things that we see, what people do, how they behave, how they conduct themselves, the pictures, the images, the videos, everything, they have a huge effect on our thoughts. When you see something like, okay, I want to be like that person, I want to behave like that person, your children see other people shouting and screaming, they will come and they will replicate that as well. We see behavior and we copy that behavior after we have seen that thing. Everything, majority of the thing that a child learns is through visual learning. What they see is what they repeat. So it has a huge impact, your eyes, on your thoughts. It has a huge impact on your own emotions. If somebody has hurt somebody, it's your eye that processes that, and it affects your heart. And it affects your spiritual well-being as well, who you are, your hubiyya, your identity as well. And therefore we as Muslims, we need to be extremely careful on what we choose to see. It is a choice for you to choose to see pornography. There's a choice for you to see somebody killing, choice for you to see fahsha and munkar, obscenity, choice for you to see immodesty and immorality, or a choice for you to come and see the Quran and Sunnah, to see the awliya Allah, to see the Sahaba Ikram, to see all of these things. There's a choice on how you use your eyes. You want to go and see the alcohol and be tempted by the alcohol. You want to see the cannabis and be tempted by the cannabis. Who do you want to see? What do you want to see? It will have an effect. And this is why we have many sayings. You are the apple of my eye. I cannot believe my eyes. You stole my heart. How? Just through the eyes. And in our language they say gandhi nazar, you know, a filthy eye. Why? Because from that nazar you are thinking something else which is connected to your heart. So your heart, eyes are the gateway to your heart, and we need to be extremely careful, especially in this climate, for the sisters as also for the brothers, and how they use their eyes and what they utilize it for. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He reminds us, lower your gaze, control your eyes. Why? Because this is a connection to your heart and also to your soul. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. And قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ as well, the same verse is mentioned for the men as the women, that tell the true believers that they should lower their eyes, they should lower their gaze, because it is a gateway to their heart. It will affect them and their thought and their mentality and their emotions and their spirituality. So tell them to protect that gateway. With the world that we are living in now, everything is accessible. You can see whatever is going on in the world. You can hack cameras and you can check out every single person, what they're wearing, how they're appearing, what they're doing, every single thing. We have no filters. We have no hesitation. We have no Chinese wall. We just do whatever we want and we look at whatever we want. It will always come at the cost of your soul, at the cost of your heart. Lower your gaze will protect you from haram. It will protect you from evil. It will protect you from temptation. And lowering your gaze will also protect you from non-mahrams. Because we're going around in our society now, and we know we can't be with this particular individual. We shouldn't be looking at this individual. But because it's free all, we carry on looking and looking and enjoying as much as we want. Oh, I'm only looking, I'm not touching, I'm not doing anything. But while you're looking, you're probably undressing her completely. Or you've seen her once and you've checked her and you're making sure that your eye goes all the way to the end of the road where she's going or where he is going. Why and how are you using your eyes is something that we will be accountable for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this in the Quran. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. That you will be held accountable for your hearing and for your sight and for your heart. You'll be questioned about how you used your hearing and how you used your sight and how you protected your heart. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that divert your gaze. If you have seen someone, if you have seen something, then divert your gaze. Do not carry on looking at that individual. The first gaze may be permissible for you because it was accidental. Nowadays we're going to town and we're like this because everybody's wearing skirts, everybody's wearing shorts, everybody's arms are up to here and they have no dupatta, no this, no that. Whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim, you can't tell the difference nowadays. For our women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for your hair to be covered. Your modesty is there up to your wrist, up to your ankles. All of this needs to be covered. Similarly for the men as well, you need to be loosely covered and modestly covered. And you should be considerate of all of these things, because what are you portraying in society? This is who Muslims are, that we are unable to control our gaze, and this is how we dress, and this is how we gawp at other people, that may be your sister or your daughter or your mother. If you do not permit anybody to look at your wife or your daughter or your sister in an evil way, then you stop looking at other people's wives and daughters and sisters first. So divert your gaze. The first gaze may be accidental and it is permissible, but the second gaze is not permissible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive you for that one. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions the adultery of the eye is the lustful look. And nowadays in this weather, it's very difficult for you not to look at somebody and then have that desire build within you of lust. When you're seeing them walking around and behaving in that particular way, men and women, the adultery of the ears is listening to the adultery of the tongue, is modest speech. The adultery of the hand is the lustful grip. The adultery of the feet is walk to somewhere which is impermissible. And the heart yearns and desires. Why? Because of what you have heard, what you have seen, then it affects the heart. And then desires come up, and then the private parts then want to come into effect because of what you have seen, because of what you have heard. So this is why it's so important for our youngsters and also for our elders to take the lead and to show how we walk. and how we carry ourselves, and how we do not look at every single woman or man, but we look down, and when we walk, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. This is how they walk in humility, with their eyes lowered, and not checking every single, as they say in our language, meme out. We're not there to check out other people and what they're doing. Look in the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Zulaykha, and how it was because of her eye, and she saw the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and how that eye affected her heart. And then it also affected her friends as well. And she said, وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She said to him, come to me. Why? Because what I have seen, I want to be with you, I want to be intimate with you, has affected my heart. I want to be close to you. And he said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. I seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the reason why I'm here in this home, and I will not do anything like this. But how many of us go around in town, in our workplaces, in our colleges, in our schools, at universities, in our communities, with our neighbors and say, Ma'az Allah. We say, Subhanallah, and we look at them again and again and again. Whereas where we should be saying, Ma'az Allah and Astaghfirullah. What is wrong with us? And our children see us behave like this. They see us watching things and people are half naked on TV and they think, oh, mom and dad are watching it, it's fine, we'll watch it as well. They see mom and dad watching it or going in town, oh, they can see it and they can dress like this, we will dress like this as well. Where is your khawfi khuda? Where is your taqwa? Where is your filter? Where is your lens? Where is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I gave you this sight for a purpose. What are you using it for? كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and it is because of Yusuf alayhi salam saying ma'az Allah and fearing Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted the evil and immorality away from him. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that he was one of our chosen servants. He said, I prefer to go to jail than do what you are asking me to do. Nowadays somebody gives you a lift and you say, yeah, I'll see you at that hotel at that time and I'll see you, and we'll end up doing the nasty. You don't care. But this is happening more and more in our society, and the reason why it is happening, because of the hearing, and more importantly because of the sight that we are abusing. So we should not be in places or in situations which will tempt us or corrupt us or lead us towards haram. We first and foremost need to make sure we protect our eyes, we protect our ears, and we wear ourselves modest clothing that is prescribed by the Quran and Sunnah, and how men should dress, and how women should dress, and how we should behave and carry ourselves in the most modest of manners. And we should constantly be lowering our gaze. Lowering our gaze doesn't mean when you go to somebody's house and out of adab, gee, or you see Imam saying, you say, gee. No, lowering your gaze is everywhere you go, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gaze is upon you. That is the difference. So imagine you using your eyes to look at all of this haram, and with those same eyes on the day of Qiyamah, how will you use that same eye to look upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How will you use the same eye to look upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you enter into Jannatul Firdaus? How will you use that same eye? This is why we need to really protect ourselves, and Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. But as for that individual who feared the position, the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he feared Allah Azza wa Jalla when he was listening to something haram, he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was looking at something haram, and he lowered his gaze immediately, and he did tawbah and istighfar, and he prevented himself and his soul and his heart from going into what he desired, and lust protected himself, then indeed for that individual, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Do you think Jannah is easy? It's very hard today. I've just been to town. It's very hard going into town. It's very hard going into workplaces now, given the climate and given the clothing that people are wearing. But it's not easy getting into Jannah either. You have to work hard. You have to protect your eyes for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Your heart for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our mandate. The heart can be of light or the heart can be of darkness. Your eyes process light and everything that is around us, but your hearts also process the darkness and the evil. So just the way the light can illuminate your heart from your eyes, the darkness can also darken your heart as well and affect your heart as well. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, that have you seen the person's eyes and the deceit that he does with his eyes? You know, when we're looking at somebody and somebody else is looking at us, we quickly look around and we try to make like, oh, I wasn't looking at you, I wasn't doing this, I wasn't doing that. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He knows the deceit of the eyes and the deception that we try to deceive ourselves and other people. He knows what's truly hidden in your heart and what you were doing with that woman or what you were doing with that man. So be true and use it in the correct way. We need to protect ourselves from fahsha and munkar, from all forms of immodesty. There's no excuse for us to allow our eyes to wander, for our hearts to be corrupted, when Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a clear guideline. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Stay on this path. Keep your eyes low. Keep humble and keep to the Quran and Sunnah. We don't need to look towards all of these other temptations where the shaitan is saying, behave like this, dress like this, and do all of these things. Protect yourselves first and foremost, then protect your own family and your own children. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to the Sahaba ikram, avoid sitting by the roadside. The reason why I say this is because majority of our, you know, elders, they like spending time in town, like going and doing a chakkar tawaf of town. Yes, that's fine for exercise, but you can go to the parks as well. You can go to other places. It's not necessary for you to go in town to see what's going on. No, you can do exercise elsewhere, because when you go into town and you know exactly what's going to go on, you're checking every single person out. This person's schedule is like this. Today she's wearing this, today he's wearing this. We're doing all of these things. We shouldn't be doing it. This is why the Messenger mentions, avoid sitting by the roadside. And they ask, Ya Rasulullah, how can we avoid sitting when this is the places where we meet and we converse and gapshap karne, and when we do all of these things? So he said, if you insist on meeting in these places, then you must give the road its due right. And they ask, Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of the road? And the first thing that he mentioned, that wherever you may be in a public place, lower your gaze. But unfortunately, we are not doing that. We are failing in that. Lower your gaze when you are in a public place or a private place, because this will affect your heart. Abstain from anything offensive in terms of your dialogue, your communication, and how you carry yourselves. Return the greetings and enjoin what is right and forbid that which is evil. We unfortunately are not lowering our gaze. We have our conversations in town, in public places. We're shouting and screaming and backbiting and gossiping. And we ignore other people, especially the Muslims, like, yeah, get on with it. And we are not enjoining right. And we are not forbidding that which is evil. And this is the reason for more and more corruption of us as the ummah, as a community, and also of our hearts. So don't underestimate just looking at haram, because the more you look at haram, the more desensitized you, your wife, and your children will be. And they'll become the norm for them to wear clothes like that and behave like that. Every single person knows what is going on within their homes. They know exactly what is going on in their community, in their neighborhood. Why are we turning a blind eye? We shouldn't, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. So wherever you are, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your weddings, and even in the masajid, women have a right to privacy. And on your phone or tablet, wherever, protect yourself by protecting your ears and protecting your heart and protecting your eyes. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, leaving this temptation of looking and gawping and undressing other people and behaving in this way, if you leave it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something far better. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent. We are all insan and we all make mistakes and we are all using our eyes in the wrong way. But إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Do tawbah, sincere tawbah, and purify yourself. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who took you out of this darkness, gave you hearing and sight and intellect. Be grateful. Do not be ungrateful by abusing and neglecting the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. And know that we will be responsible for how we use our faculties of the eyes and the ears and the heart. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, protect our hearts and our eyes and our ears. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.